Today's reading is taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 13, and it can be found on page 1139 of the Blue Bibles. That's 1139. Living sacrifices. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Ali. You'll see you've got an outline there. Should have, as you got on one side, you've got the Bible reading, and on the other side, you've got a little outline and space to write notes, he says optimistically. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, we thank you so much for your word, for the riches that there are here. We pray that you will just open it to us today and open our hearts to receive. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we come to week three of our series in which we're really retuning and resetting our church. And that's very much the theme of this wonderful passage from Romans 12. The third of our core values as a church is that we aim to be a church that is a body, alive, vibrant, and prayerful. Not an institution, but a movement of radical love. And Paul uses this picture of us being a body three times in his letters, in 1 Corinthians 12, in Ephesians 4, and then here also in Romans. And each time he comes in with different angles. And so it's worth looking at all of these passages. You might like to look them up and look at home or perhaps in your home group. And the body is an amazing thing, isn't it? The human body. You see an athlete who has disciplined themselves. And they've honed their bodies. You know, they've taken care about what they eat. They've taken the right sleep. They've exercised diligently in order to become an amazing runner or an amazing athlete on the sports pitch. So how are we to be like that? How are we to be alive, vibrant as God's body, as God's people here at St. Francis? Well, I've got three headings for us today. First, offer. Second, gifts. And third, in love. So first, offer, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, you know, this was a really unexpected thing for St. Paul's readers to hear. They'd been influenced very much, many of them, by Greek thinking. And in Greek thinking, the body was something that was to be overcome. It was something that was base, really, something that was earthbound. And so you overcame the body, and the spirit was something that was good and was mystical and of God. So the body was bad and the spirit was good in Greek thinking. But that isn't a biblical view of Paul at all. No, says Paul, because of God's mercy, because of the cross and all that's gone before in this book of Romans that he's explained, we're to give our bodies to God as living sacrifices. Just as Jesus was sacrificed for us and in a way paid for us on the cross, so we give ourselves back to him. And it's our bodies that we give. You see, being a Christian isn't just a sort of spiritual responding to God, a sort of mystical experience. It's a physical offering of ourselves. And if your church experience is sort of all sort of easy and trouble-free, and you're never stressed or exerted in any way, it may be that the spiritual hasn't transformed to the physical, because we're supposed to be exercised as Christians as we work together. Offering our body is a living sacrifice. And a sacrifice is costly, isn't it? So that would be a good question as we begin, as we continue with our tune-up of our church, our tune-up of ourselves. You know, am I a spiritual couch potato? Or am I actually engaging my body in the work and exercising? And of course, as we exercise, as an athlete exercises their muscles, they become strong. And the right amount of exercise is good for us. Of course, if they over-exercise, they become injured, and that's not good either. So we need to have discernment of God to know. But for a Christian, exercise is good. We're to be part of God's body. Paul then moves on to our minds. And it's the mind and will that controls the body, isn't it? In sports, it's all about these sports psychologists, isn't it, who help you get your mindset right. Andy Murray, till he got his mindset right, wasn't winning any tennis. But now he's winning because his mind is right. And that's true with us too. So verse 2, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. The mind controls the body and gives it direction. And of course, most sin, most depravity comes from excesses of the body, doesn't it? So greed, anger, lust, selfishness, laziness. And the patterns of the world press in on us and press in with temptations for us. And the tense that Paul uses here in the Greek means that we're to be constantly transformed, constantly renewed in our minds, and our minds control our bodies. So that as we're constantly pressed in by temptation, we're constantly renewed by God from the inside. And the Spirit renews our mind. And as we read Scripture, we take in its values. And we're bolstered, really, against the temptations of the world. And that's why we come together on Sundays, to remind ourselves of the vision that we have before us, to be renewed in God and in our minds. That's why we meet together in home groups, crucial way, small groups in the life of our church. And as we do so, so our bodies express Christ's actions, and as a whole, we become the body of Christ in the world, witnessing to him. John Stott describes it like this: then our feet will walk in his paths, our lips will speak the truth and spread the gospel, our tongues will bring healing, our hands will lift up those who have fallen, and perform many mundane tasks as well, like cooking and cleaning and typing and mending. Our arms will embrace the lonely and the unloved, our ears will listen to the cries of the distressed, and our eyes will look humbly and patiently to God. That's what happens as we offer ourselves to God. So first, offer. Secondly, gifts. And the keys to using our gifts are found in verses 3 and 6 in Romans 12. Verse 3, For by the grace given me, I say to each one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to you. So we're not to think of ourselves more highly, but actually I want to add to this that we're not to think of ourselves more lowly either. What we're to have is sober judgment, a true view of ourselves. Some say, oh, I couldn't do that. They think more lowly of themselves. And so their gifts are never really discovered. Their gifts are sort of hidden under a bowl or under a bushel, as the Bible says. It's a sort of unhelpful humility. Others are rather proud of the gifts that they've been given, so they think of themselves more highly. Think, wow, look at this gift, aren't I amazing? Aren't I good? But actually, of course, they're God's gifts. They're given by God, that's what it says. In the passage, verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So they're God's free grace-given gifts. So they're not ours to hide under a bush and say, well, we couldn't do that. But neither are they ours to be proud of. And you know, that is wonderfully releasing. You might just say, well, just get over yourself, forget about yourself, and get on with the gifts, because they're God's gifts. So you don't need to be proud of them, and you don't need to be over-humble about them. Just use them. And Paul says in verse 5, each member belongs to the others. So these gifts, we're responsible to each other for using them. Because if the body hasn't got all the gifts it needs, then it's missing things. You know, it's like it's missing an arm or missing a leg or an eye. You know, and that's grotesque compared to what we should be as the body of Christ. Beautiful, together, each one using their gifts, capable as the body should be. So we're to be a body. And then our value says that it's to be a movement and not an institution. Bodies that are in good shape are sort of fluid, aren't they? They're moving, there's connections about them, good connections between the different parts of the body. And that's what happens when people gather around an exciting cause. They become a movement. Something grabs them, they're passionate about something, and they move forward together. And they become a community gathered around a cause. And that's what we are to be, an exciting, vibrant, alive community together. And I think we are, because we're engaged in a vision here at St. Francis. And Paul's lists some of the gifts that we might have, and this is not an exhaustive list. There's another different list in Ephesians 4 and another one in 1 Corinthians 12. And even those lists altogether are not exhaustive. God is an amazingly creative God, so we don't need to box him in. The gifts that he gives us are almost endless. So let's be prayerful, seeking God's gifts. And in this list, we see Paul speaks of prophecy. Those who in prayer and listening to God see beyond where we currently are. If we're to be a movement moving forward together, we need that. And we've been growing in that as a church, haven't we? As we've been listening to God, we've seen pictures and had impressions. And if you're new in this, seeking pictures and impressions from God, you will almost certainly think, oh, that's just me. That's not God. But can I encourage you, just speak it out in your small group, or come and tell me if you've had an impression of something, or one of the other leaders, because God gives impressions and prophecy and pictures. And as you begin to speak them out, you become more confident and you see more clearly and hear more clearly what God is saying. So we need that gift. So maybe that's a gift that God might be giving you. And prophets challenge the body to move forward, to adapt, to change to the new things that God has for the body. We need servants. We're a large and busy and complicated body. So look around, see if there's ways that you can serve in the life of the church. And don't feel that you have to be asked, you know, as though this isn't your church. It is your church. This is your body. You are part of the body. You're an arm or a leg. So you need to be part of it. And look for those who are already doing loads and say, well, maybe I could take that off you. Maybe I could help you. Teaching. A growing church needs teaching and disciples in home groups, in young people's groups. And in the family as well, we're all teachers as we teach our children. And don't think you have to know everything before you begin to teach. Actually, if you wait to know everything, you will never start, will you? It's that as you begin to teach that actually God gives you more things to teach. And teaching is the best way to learn, because if you've got to explain something to someone, you don't half learn what it is that you've got to explain. And as the teachers are discovered, the body gets stronger. Encouragers are crucial for the life of the church. You know, and you know how you feel, don't you? When somebody's encouraged you, you sort of walk with a spring in your step. It makes a difference. And you risk more. You perhaps give more. You take on more challenges because someone has encouraged you and helped you. That's how we become an alive and vibrant body together. We need the encouragers. Givers. Giving sacrificially is exhilarating as you see God's work unfolding before you. It's a sort of litmus test, really, of our commitment. To give 10% a tithe of your income is a sign of Christian maturity. Do you do that, or are you working towards that? That's what God calls us to. And it's one of the signs of being an active Christian. And some have a specific gift of giving, and they're just love to be generous in what they have, and they love to see the church moving forward. They love to bless other people in the congregation who they can just give money to. It's good to see. Leading. Paul says your gift, if your gift is leading, do it diligently. I love that word, diligently. Pray for God's Spirit to help you in the area where you lead. And be there early and prepare well and finish the session well. And don't do half a job so that somebody else has to sweep up after you. Finish it all. And love God's people and serve them. Leadership is about service as well. Finally, showing mercy. Do you love to help people who are in need, so much need in our world today, to pastor the sick, to reach out with love to those in our community? Do it cheerfully, says Paul. And then finally, our last point, we're to do all of this in love. Love is crucial. Love is what really makes us the body of Christ, because love was the thing that just filled his life. Verses 9 to 13 really say it all. Verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Our value says that we want to be a movement of radical love, sacrificial love. What a picture of the church Paul gives in this passage, Romans 12. Do you want to step up to be more part of this? God is calling you to use your gifts, to discover your gifts, uncover them, release them. He wants us to be together, a body, alive, vibrant, prayerful. Not a fixed institution, but a movement of his radical love. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful picture of your body in Romans. And Lord, we know that we fall short of that. So, Lord, we pray that you will release us to be the people you want us to be. Just ask your Spirit now, Lord, just to come. Come, Holy Spirit. So we've read this passage, we have been in some way just convicted. Lord, give us your love. Transform us. Renew our minds. Take our bodies. And Lord, as you transform us, just fill us with that joy of knowing you, that joy of being just sold out for you. And Lord, here together as a body, give us such a love for one another, such a care. Oh Lord, as people see us, may they say, yes, in them I see Jesus. May we be a signpost, a witness to you, Lord. We want nothing less.